Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7. Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey everyone, welcome to a breaking news episode of the Almost Famous podcast. It is Ashley and I am joined by Trista Sutter and Bob Guinea, who you guys may know do the spinoff of Almost Famous, which is Almost Famous OGs. And we're grateful to have them here to break down their thoughts and feelings on the Golden Bachelor divorce. It's very sad, but I got lots of feelings and I can't wait to talk about them with you guys from all different sorts of perspectives. Before we rip into these two and try to overanalyze everything that we truly don't know, I do want to say that, of course, divorce is horrible. It's a very sad situation. We wanted them to have a happy ending. But you know what? In the Good Morning America interview, they honestly seem like they're both in good places. So let's let the analyzation go forth. First, we're going to start with you guys, OGs, members of Bachelor Nation. And then, Bob, you are going to talk to superfan Jenny Garth about how she's feeling because she was really into this couple.
Yeah.
I'm also going to talk to some normies. Some normie grandma fans, see how they're responding to their generation's, the version of the franchise kind of going south very quickly. And then we're also going to have Bachelor Data on, and she is going to give us some stats about just marriage in the Bachelor franchise and like whether she has any insight on whether this one was going to come so soon.
Man.
Can you, when you talk to her,
Will you ask her why she never includes me in her data?
She doesn't? Why? Because you would drag, you would like make everything so high because like you're 20 just, years just of marriage. Like, curve. It's like, whoa.
That's why I didn't want Trish in any of my classes growing up, because she would have just ruined the curve. The bell curve would be toast.
That's so funny. It's because, you know, Trista, you have such a gap between your like getting together and marriage to the next one, because isn't the next one Jason? Yep. So how many years is that in span? Like over 10?
Wow. Yeah, I think that they are just celebrating their
11.
I think they're 10 years. Yeah.
Okay. Behind it. Well, yeah. See, that's why.
Yeah,
I know.
All right, I'll ask her. Okay, so let me go first. My initial reaction was, wow, I can't believe this happened so fast. What, 3 months? I was like, I don't know if I told you, Trista, I was like, I was so incredibly sick at their wedding. I was 10 weeks pregnant, and now I'm 24. Yes. So it was 14 weeks. It was a trimester. They were married for a trimester.
That's how we keep score. That's how we keep track of time. And when you're momming it up.
Yeah. So, I definitely thought it was weird that they were getting married so soon. I've been very vocal about that. I was like, 4 months. Why would you ever get married after 4 months of knowing each other? It's not even a 4 month engagement. It was 4 months of knowing each other. And most of those months, they weren't even actually in the same room. And he was dating other people. Like we were a couple that were announced about a month, 4 weeks.
Yeah.
From the finale to their wedding.
That may be something for future people to take into account, you know, from here on. They have their they have a big long life that they've lived, and they know themselves, like all these things that like younger people kind of fight against is, do you even know yourself? Do you know what you want out of life? Do you know the kind of partner that you want? And I feel like they both were there. They knew exactly what they were looking for, right? And so I think that time element definitely is an interesting factor, because I thought personally, when they did announce that they were going to be getting married so quickly, I thought, well, good for them, because if they know, they know, then just do it. You know what I mean? But now hindsight's 20/20, and you're like, whoa, maybe you should have taken a beat, you know, and lived in the same home for a while.
Well, they still haven't even moved into the same home. That was news that just came out last week. They've still been living separately. And I mean, I can tell you, I mean, you know, as a divorced man, you know, when my ex-wife and I started living on opposite coasts, it was the nail in the coffin. And I feel like when you haven't even, here's what I was thinking about what you said, Ashley. Like, I agree with Ashley. Like, I was like, why are they rushing this? It's like, you know, like all of a sudden they're
also
like,
so 70, 72, like, why would you rush that? It's not like there's like no biological clock time.
That's what
going
I, yeah,
on.
Exactly.
I don't get it. Even in the case of a biological clock, like, you don't need to rush that fast. Holy moly.
No. Part of me too is kind of like, something must have been fundamentally flawed from the jump, because you don't let someone spend a couple million bucks on your wedding and televise it for the world to see, to then just allow it to crash and burn so quickly. So it's like, are we not willing to try and get into some counseling? I mean, are we not willing to try and get to know each other a little bit better and maybe pump the brakes? And, you know, maybe they don't live the life of a married couple, like a hardcore married couple at this moment, because they're already living separately, but maybe they just sort of take a few minutes and, you know, I don't know, try to salvage this whole thing.
That's why this is
suspect. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's... So I think like about feelings or values or something that they might be able to talk through in therapy, then I think that, yeah, that would be a good idea. So I reached out to Angie, who's Gary's daughter, and just said, hey, will you tell your dad I'm just sending him a virtual hug? I'm sorry to hear the news this morning. And she was like, well, here's his number. You know, thank you. But why don't you reach out to him? So So I did. And I personally think that it wasn't something that could be like, they both love each other. I think what from the People article, I read the People article, and they both still love each other. But there's only so much love can get over. So if one person is living in one place and the other is living in another and they just can't compromise, then there's nothing to talk about. You know what I mean? Like if you're deciding to prioritize, where you're living currently, then I think it's just, it should have been discussed. I feel like, but the shoulda, woulda, coulda doesn't help anyone, right? So I just feel bad, but I do feel like if they were adamant that both of them were going to live where they live now, right? Then that should have been like discussed. And I think that anyone in the future going on the show, even being part of a relationship, can learn from this, that you really do need to talk about like the all realistic.
Yeah.
You know, like the logistics of a relationship, you should be in the same place. To make it work, you really do need, I feel like, to be in the same place.
You have to.
I don't know. I don't know, because maybe I'm just totally warped. But I just feel like at their age that they just kind of want to, they just need a companionship, but it doesn't have to be 100% full-time companionship. It's like, think about like the older people who have like a boyfriend in a different state, and it's just like, oh, my boyfriend. And like they visit each other once a month, twice a month. I don't know that they needed to uproot their entire lives to keep the marriage alive. I just don't know that I buy the whole like location is the reason we're divorcing after 3 months. That just feels really extreme. And I really think that there's a way to get around it, especially as retired people who, I know like travel is expensive, but you're telling me that like you're supposedly still in love, aka the Good Morning America interview. But like after 3 months, you realize that you just can't dedicate your time to traveling for each other. I don't know. Okay. I don't buy it. And I don't want to like talk, especially when Trista, like you are in, you know, you're friendly with the family, but there's something weird about this. Like, why?
I hear that. I think that if you are in love, then you're right. Like, you know, I just said 2 seconds ago, like love can only conquer so much, but you're right. Like if you truly are going to prioritize the love that you feel for each other, then you'll make it work. But I just don't know if the timing was right. And I don't know that they realized until after they had said their vows.
Guys, I'm just going to say this as a person who's gone through divorce. Okay. I'm just going to say it. You don't take that step lightly. You just don't. Yeah. And it's like, I don't care if you want the divorce or you don't want the divorce. It sucks no matter what. And when you're going to go through, and I'm sorry to throw this extra wrinkle in there, but I do think there's something to be said about this. When you're going to go through such public scrutiny, like they're going to get just, I mean, I agree, they're older, and so maybe they won't get it as bad, but they're going to get shredded. And it's like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, I'm sorry, you don't make that step without exhausting everything that you can exhaust if you truly love that person. And I mean, I can say as someone who went through a divorce, and my wife, Canyon, knows this. I say this to her all the time. I'm like, I never stopped caring about her or loving her. It was that we tried everything we could and we realized we just weren't compatible. And it wasn't me living in LA and her living in New York. It was much more than that. That was just the straw that broke the camel's back. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you're a couple that all you've ever known is living apart, which is them, then I have a hard time, like Ashley's saying, I have a hard time accepting the fact that they weren't going to live together is why they're getting divorced.
Yeah. Like I just listened to the Good Morning America interview and I just was like, this is total BS, because I just feel like there's something phony about it. The way that they were even like holding hands and being so cuddly and stuff. The interviewer is like, you guys are holding hands. Like you still, and they were like, yeah, we still love each other so much. Like we're still in love. And I'm like, you're still in love. I can understand you saying like you have love for each other.
Like we love
there's
one another.
There's a support there.
Yeah.
But you're telling me that you're in love and the only reason here is distance. But I feel like distance and location is the only, is just the easiest way to explain to the fandom. It is the lightest way. It's the lightest way, right? It's the way that people are going to be like, oh man, that's unfortunate, you know, distance. But like, really, I think there was some fundamental flaws there. And they just found out because they didn't have enough time together.
Well, I have one other thing I was thinking about earlier too, and this is something to talk about. I know how much I hated it when Stella and I split up, and it was like, you know, all these people chiming in of, you know, oh, well, this and that. And you're just like, and I remember reading that stuff going, that's not true. But, you know, but then once in a while, someone would, you know, someone would say something and you'd be like, well, I guess there's some truth to that, you know, or whatever. And, you know, a lot of stuff came out after Gary, you know, became the bachelor, Golden Bachelor. And some of it wasn't so flattering from some of his exes, like, you know, oh, well, he was really weird about money, or it was this, or it was that, you know? And I remember reading some of that stuff and going, ah, I hope that's not true. But it was like, was in one ear and out the other, you know? So you got to wonder, like, now as that stuff starts to play out, you know, now you, here we are 3 months, not even a trimester later, and they're splitting up. And it's like, you know, you got to wonder, is there some validity to some of that stuff? Like, I mean, this was an ex who was jilted saying, you know, he was like this and like that, so he's not that great or whatever. You know, I get it. People, when they break up, they have harsh opinions, and some of it's based in truth and some of it's just completely from, you know, left field. But I just feel like maybe there is something to some of that stuff.
Yeah. In the Good Morning America interview, she said that that article was no big deal to her. She said that they had already talked everything that was in the article out before the article even came out. So I think that means that there is some validity to what was in the article, but I can't get rid of that feeling that it did have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one knows, right? We can all sit here and talk until our anything. Like, we can talk all day, but no one will know except for them. No one's ever going to know exactly why. And it just makes me sad. Like, as the fairy godmother, I just, you know, I've always said that I feel maternal, and it's weird because they're older than me, but at the same time, like, I root for everybody, and being there at their wedding and feeling the love, like, I thought it was going to last, especially longer than 3 months. So I'm just sad. You know, it's just a bummer. I had hopes, but, I'm just sad.
It's a bummer.
Well, Bob, we want you to give Jenny Garth a chance to give her thoughts and opinions on this. So I want to toss it over to you, and then we'll come back and we'll do a little bit of a grandma interview. There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Almost Famous, I am here, Bob Guinea, of course, with our special guest, Jenny Garth. Jenny, long time friend of the show. You know, I'm a huge fan and a longtime friend. I want to say, for the record, that I woke up this morning, for whatever reason, at like 5 a.m, and I looked at my phone and I saw a breaking news Us Weekly thing. And I'm like, this has got to be a joke, right? So I don't click on it because I think it's going to be like, you know, something that's like clickbait. And I can't tell yet if it's actually for real. Then at about 8 o'clock this morning, I see it and it's for real. So yes, Gary and Teresa from The Golden Bachelor literally have been married for 3 months. I mean, I've probably wore socks longer than that. I don't understand what the hell's going on here. 3 months and they can't even go to counseling. I mean, what? Okay, Jenny.
They have the tear picture and everything. It's over. Like, but I 3 months. My first marriage was longer than 3 months, and this is like their last marriage. So you would think that they would have it down by now,
or at least be willing to fight for it a little bit. I mean, I don't understand. Yeah,
I am truly devastated. I feel like my mom and dad are getting a divorce.
I mean, honestly, you know, one of my friends today who is a big fan of the show, and he wrote me, it's like a guy's thread, and this one buddy of ours, and we all tease him because, you know, we'll be watching like the national championship game and he'll be watching, you know, Golden Bachelor or whatever. And so we were all teasing him about just his love of the whole thing. And this morning he calls me, writes me on the side and then calls me and he's like, honestly, I'm devastated right now. He's like, I can't understand how you would go through such a process. And he's like, don't get me wrong. And you know, there's something to be said about this part too, Jenny. And I know you're a big fan of the show and I, of course, lived it. But it's like you go through these situations and you get to the end. And, you know, usually there's a little bit of time where you get to know each other without the cameras. And, you know, of course, the greatest success story of The Bachelor franchise, Tristan and Ryan, you know, they dated almost a year before they, you know, before they got married. And, but, you know, so these two got married pretty quickly. And like you said, you know, they're older, you would think they're wiser. You would think that, you know, they would do at least have due process before, you know, pulling the trigger, but they wanted to have that wedding right away. I mean, it sounded like it was their thing. They wanted to get married right away. They wanted to have the nuptials on TV. so much went into this and now kaput.
I'm pretty upset. This is what I think I got married in either 3 months or 6 months. I can't remember, after meeting a guy, my current husband. And it's going pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, we definitely hit a rough patch because we did rush into it. But I do think that we took the time to really look at that and then work through it. These guys are just ready to run for the hills, like, right away. I guess when you're older and it's later in life, you know, you don't have much time to fool around. If it's not working, get out.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's crazy.
On one hand, good for them for, you know, cutting the losses and moving forward and getting on with it. But on the other hand, oh my God, so many people are going to be so disappointed. I feel like this is like, this is upsetting. This was appointment television for me and my family.
Yeah.
And we were so invested.
I know. I think we all were. Like, I was just talking yesterday about how much I loved that they didn't do stunt casting on this season with Gary. Like, it was age appropriate casting. And I thought that was awesome. And, you know, for The Bachelor to do that, that was like going like totally out of the box. They always would throw a few people in there who were, you know, randoms and, you know, just stir up the sauce. They didn't even do that. You know, they were really respectful.
It was so real. It felt so real.
I know, this is heartbreaking. I'm with you, Jenny. I feel like you and I need to go and counsel them.
We need to either go get therapy or go give them therapy. But what do you think is going to happen? Is he going to go knocking on, you know, somebody else's door now or what?
I don't know. Do you think he does like an expose where he explains what went wrong in his words and she explains what's, I mean, are they going to do something like that?
Let's hope so, because I'll be there for that. But another season where it's Gary part two, where they bring him back and it's a do-over.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because there's been so much talk about the Golden Bachelorette and how, you know, and it was based off the success of the Golden Bachelor. So now what? Like, does Teresa come back as the Golden Bachelorette?
Who's going to be the Bachelorette?
I don't know. They've been kicking it around.
Teresa, come back.
Honestly, I mean, could it be?
It's true, because even like I did not want Teresa to take home the ring. I wanted someone else to do it. But that last episode, I was just like Gary. I was like, oh, no, Teresa is the one, actually.
Yeah, I know.
But it turns out one isn't long enough to get to know somebody.
You know, you got to wonder. And of course, I hate to do this because I you know, I had many a thing written about me post my Bachelor season that wasn't true, but you got to wonder, some stuff came out of the woodwork, you know, a couple of Gary's exes came forward. Remember that right after the season or kind of in that height of the thing. And you got to wonder, like, you know, was any of that stuff maybe, you know, brewing under the surface that we didn't know about? And that's what came up or.
Yeah. I am dying to know now. Like, I need to know now more than before.
I'm sure we're going to find out very soon.
Well, I will be on the edge of my seat.
All right, Jenny. Well, I know you're almost to your destination. So let's just say what we're really feeling here. I feel betrayed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, first of all, Trista and I go through this every day on the show. She was invited to the Golden Wedding. I wasn't. Ooh. I've brought it up many a time. And now I think they're wishing they would have invited me. Perhaps the outcome would have been different.
Maybe Braden and Christina will work out better. I don't know.
Somebody's bound to. I mean, my God, they've got to.
You know that picture with the tear mark between them? I've had a couple of those, and you probably have too.
I have.
But when I saw that this morning, yeah, I was pretty devastated.
Yeah. Yep. You and me both. And you know, it's funny. I don't know if you feel this way when it's celebrity gossip, but I've seen many a thing in Us Weekly and, you know, Star and whoever else is around. But when TMZ reports it, I'm like, this must be true, right? I don't know why I feel that way, but I feel like they won't put anything up that hasn't at least been vetted a little bit in the race to be like first. And I'm always like, when I saw it on TMZ, which was later in the day, because in the morning, first morning I saw it in Us Weekly, then I saw it on some other, like Just Jared or something. And then all of a sudden, boom, it pops up on TMZ. I'm like, that's it. It's official.
It is official. Like herpes. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't think there's anything you can take to make this one go away.
I know, it's so sad. I have to go. I need to cry a little.
I know. It is a bummer.
I'm sorry. I feel so bad for Teresa.
Oh, I know. Part of me feels like, I don't know. I feel like she was sort of like, I mean, I'm not blaming Gary here because I don't know either one of them. But it's like, part of me feels like, for whatever reason, I don't know. Do you think they felt pressure? Like they had to get married right away? Or do you think that they, I don't know.
I mean, either they felt pressured and they felt like they had to do it for the sake of the show and they were pressured into it that way, or they felt like time is of the essence.
Right.
Getting up there, or they just were like, let's throw caution to the wind and let's do whatever we want because we're golden, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Or maybe it was a combination of all of those things. And it was just like, they had to make the big jump. But it was kind of fishy that neither one of them ever was willing to move to the other or to be at least find a place that worked for both of them. I mean, that's been something that's been kind of bantered about a little bit. I mean, they've been married for 3 months and they still live separately.
Really?
Yeah.
Were they geographically undesirable? Were they like, did they live in different parts of the country?
I think so. I remember reading something that they said that South Carolina might work for them to have like as a central place that was close enough to her family and not too far from his or something of that nature. But yeah, I guess that doesn't mean anything now.
Well, geez. I mean, I really do wish them both the best, but I do need some good parenting therapy, like divorce therapy work now.
Yeah, I think I'm calling my shrink right after we hang up. I need some help. I gotta work through some things. Well, thank you for jumping on with us. I know you're going somewhere and you're busy, and thanks for jumping on and letting us know your thoughts. I mean, obviously, we know you're a big fan of the show and that you loved, you know, watching the season. And gotta be honest, I'm a little I don't know what it means for a lot of things. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, even in the past, like when the couples would be engaged and wanted to break up, they would get like the production crew would get involved. Like they'd be like, well, hold on, let's have you guys meet up and at least talk, and maybe you can talk with someone. And we've been making you keep everything secret for so long, all that kind of stuff. So I wonder, like, if production was sideswiped by this, or if they had a heads up and they've been working on it for like a month. Who knows?
We need to know that. All the details. We are inquiring minds and we need to know.
That's right. Amy Sugarman will probably be able to find out. She knows everything.
She'll give us the dirt.
She'll get it for us. All right. Thank you, Jenny Garth. Thank you for being on the show. And thanks for working through some of my issues with me on this call. I needed you.
You're welcome. I'm always here for you, Bob.
I appreciate it. And if I get more details, we'll call you back and we'll get you back on so we can talk about it.
Okay. Bye. All right.
Bye.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So like how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for the Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Well, Bob, thank you for that. And now we have producer Amy, who we haven't had on this podcast for quite some time, here with breaking news, along with her mom, Cheryl, who happens to be a grandma. So we have two great perspectives.
Yeah,
right,
we wanted to give the old person's perspective. But here's what I can say, Ashley. And I thought everything you guys were saying was very astute. Like, yes, it is geographic, but that seems a little suspect, right? And so we've heard, so I'm going to tell you what sources have been telling us. I just won't reveal my sources. We've heard rumblings of this since January 30th. So
like, why specifically the 30th?
Because it's, I can just remember the date when the person told me.
Okay. And can you give us like a general, like, is this person part of the Bachelor family? Is this person part of Bachelor production?
Very well connected to all parties. And what we heard back then was they don't live together. They're never going to live together. So it was like, okay, wow, that's interesting. And, but like you were saying, Ashley, it's like, yeah, a lot of old people could just have a nice companion. They go on a cruise, I don't know, every 6 months, and they live their lives in separate locations. My mom's here, and I'll interject with her because she would never leave her grandchildren or her hair salon. I mean, right? A hair salon, maybe.
Your hair does look beautiful, by the way, Cheryl.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
No, I guess, well, should I do, my feeling is I'm wondering why, what the rush was to get married.
Was it the money? Let's talk about that. The we all feel as if they got paid a lot of money to get married on live TV, because that's just how we do in Bachelor Nation. You know, you get married. If you get married on the show, you get money. Because their ratings were so high and they did such a quick turnaround with the wedding, we really thought that there was probably a good payday in it for them. But how cheated do we feel as viewers that, like, these people, we could assume, maybe wrongly, but we could assume got married or rushed into a wedding for the money?
I would love to hear Triska's perspective on the being paid to have a wedding. Also, it does extend your fame, right? So if you're starting to like the money and now you're the couple that get married on TV, and Trista, you can really speak to that. Not only did you get paid for the wedding, but I'm sure it helped you with like brand deals following that.
I guess, but not
not then. We didn't have anything. Stupidly, I mean, I wish we would have, but because like Bob said the other day, he's like, he would be billionaires if social media had been around back then. And that would be nice because I'd love to pay my taxes and not worry. But I didn't really think about the money part of it, but you're right that if it was a lot, it was a live wedding, it was quick. And what I was going to say earlier when we were talking is that I guarantee that production had some pressure going on. They were applying a lot of pressure to do this quickly. I don't know that they would have done it had it not been a televised wedding. I highly doubt that Gary and Teresa would have been like, we need to get ready or get married tomorrow. You know, it was all, I would say, all about production, right?
Yeah.
And so if they got paid, you know, that's just icing on the cake. For us, it was, you know, we went into negotiations and I don't remember them saying like it needs to be quick, but we did a whole like four piece special. It was like three or four different segments. It wasn't a live show, even though they talked about doing a live show. So, I mean, the money was good. I don't know how much they got. And I've heard over the years that no one would get as much
what
as
you got.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think they would pay that much again. Like it was like pulling teeth to get anything from them back then, even knowing that they were going to make bank just from having it on the air, you know? So, we had to fight really hard to get any kind of cut in.
Wait,
our
really?
Own-
I thought you guys made a bundle.
Well, the rumor has always been $1 million.
Yeah, you made $1 million. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, we got paid $1 million, but my agent was like, you're making like how many times that, you know, like, and you would not be able to do this without Trista and Ryan. So
we were
a big part of the show.
Because
like, if you're going to make money on the show,
20 plus million viewers. How many viewers did your wedding get?
No, we had 31 million watch our engagement. And then 26 million watched the wedding. So at that point in time, 31 million people had watched the finale of the show. So yes, like, I mean, I don't want to think that about Gary and Teresa.
Sorry.
The question is, it's hard when you get into what you three have been, Bob, Trista, Ashley. There's the fame, there's the excitement, there's all these things pulling you. How could you resist it? Bob has his hand up.
Yeah.
I was going to say thank you so much, Ms. Sugarman, for recognizing my raised hand. You know, here's the thing. So Trista, I mean, there was a lot of pressure on Trista back then, but Trista and Ryan took a year, right? Like they took time from, I mean, if it wasn't a full year, it was a while. From the time that I remember you guys finished dating to the time that, you know, when I was on Trista's season, from the finale to the time they got married, I mean, there was a lot of time in there. And I think that, you know, they had that time to get to know one another. But this, I think, was another moment of high stakes, right? Because let's be mm-hmm. honest, they're already teasing the Golden Bachelorette. So they needed a success to spurn more success. And so that's why I think there was probably pressure coming from the producers, but I also think they wouldn't have let these guys, this wouldn't have been a public announcement. The producers, I think what Amy said was right. Like January 30th, I'm sure the producers have been trying to keep these two together for months. They've been working hard.
So that's what I was going to say, Ashley. The little bit of information we also have mm-hmm. is that they have been separated, and I use that term loosely, knew this was coming, right, for a little bit of time. The rumor we have heard from good sources is that they would have liked to not announce this for quite a while because it's the timing is so bad. Like, it's just too quick. I think they would have liked to go a year before they let anyone find out that things weren't going to work out.
Like, I'm sorry, but separated even before 14 weeks in your and for you on January 30th to have heard that they were never going to live together. Like, this just has sham written all over it.
2 weeks ago, the wedding itself made me so uncomfortable that I couldn't watch it.
And Trista, no, I also feel bad saying this because you felt it, but being at the wedding, I didn't feel it. I didn't have any sort of sense of being choked up. There's no tears coming out of Miss Crying's eyes. And I remember, like, when I was coming back and I was going to record my other podcast with my friend who was a huge Golden Bachelor fan, I was like, she's like, you have to talk about it. I was like, I don't want to talk about it because, like, I have nothing, like, really warm and fuzzy to say. I just didn't really feel it. So I didn't even talk about it.
Yeah, my mom knew. It's like somehow she had an instinct these two were not going to
last. Don't do it. Don't do it.
What? Do you have any reason beyond instinct? Because I just had gut.
You know, I was just uncomfortable thinking about watching it. I just didn't want to watch it.
Do you think that it made you uncomfortable with the whole Leslie situation?
She didn't get in the weeds because here's what started to happen. Sorry to speak for you. My mom started watching it and she started pretty quickly realizing like something wasn't quite right. And by the time we got to the wedding, she was like,
it's like, oh, I can't watch this.
I had a big party and had people over and I'm like, mom, come over. And she goes, yeah, I don't want to watch them. And I don't know if it's because she's their age.
Maybe.
She was like
a little creepy to me.
Yeah.
But you had a good radar going. I mean, obviously you picked up on something that, you know,
that
you
could be. I don't know. Yeah.
I think that's what it is. I think you're just very perceptive.
Well, especially like maybe other, because my mom's hung out with Susan and Kathy and she loves them.
Had dinner with them.
And so I think that maybe like these ladies of a certain age, my mom's 76. Also, like, what's 70? Do you want to get married?
Well, no. And that's my other thought on this. I think what they were trying to do was very difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult. You know, they were going to move, right? And I can't imagine leaving my granddaughters. I mean, I cook dinner for my youngest granddaughters twice a week. I mean, I wouldn't give that up. And my relation and being part of their lives. I mean,
well, and not to out my mom, but this is something about older people, they're very set in their ways. Like, my mom has a garbage can that you're not allowed to put garbage in. Like, it's so and like, you use her certain sink and she's like, you're getting the sink wet. And like, I'm not making it up. Like, I can't imagine two people set in their ways trying to like live together. But yeah, that's the point. That's why I was wondering why they were rushing to get married. I hadn't thought about the money.
Because of production.
You can have so much fun. I mean, go have fun, get to know each other, take some trips, play golf, you know, whatever they like to do. And you don't have to get married necessarily.
I feel like if it wasn't a television show, then they would have done that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Had they met like somewhere else, then and production wasn't involved, then maybe they would have done that. But since it's a TV show, you know, all bets get thrown out the window.
And Trista, do you think, I'm trying to look in Trista's eyes to see if I can see a glimpse of the truth. Do you think that they would have liked to not have to do this ABC Good Morning America special today? Like, would they have liked 100% to like not?
100% they didn't want to do that. Yes. Especially since you're saying that they didn't want to even announce it for a year. I think that they're
allegedly
it's part of their contract, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. They probably are still under contract. I don't know how contracts work these days. Like, if they're required to do
contracts are harder today than ever before.
They are for a year. So the ring goes back, right? All of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. 100%.
Bessie will Bob Guinea rule, I've heard. True story. True story. I really heard that.
Did Stella get to keep her ring? And then they were like,
she did. And yes. And she sold it. And so there became like some type of weird time frame in there. Yeah.
So there's two things I want to mention, especially with Trista still around. One, I could have not felt much at the wedding because it was the live TV version and we had to keep stopping. And that felt really awkward. Like it felt like we were on the set of a wedding, not that we were actually at a wedding. So I'm sure that took some magic away.
Wait, Ashley, I just have to mention your lamb chop when you're just cruising around this wedding.
It was not a lamb chop. I don't eat lamb. That's the one meat I won't eat. But yes, that was the only screen time I had was I had a meatball. Yeah. And I was like, I was literally eating meatball being like, I'm totally on camera right now, aren't I? And I was like, there it is.
No, I keep going, but I had to call that because it did look like you were like, I don't know what's happening here, but I'm just going to eat these meatballs.
Totally. Okay. But then Trista, the other thing I wanted to say is regarding what you said earlier in the episode, you said, we'll never really know what happened between the two of them. But you know what? We very well may, because this Golden Bachelor cast with women like Kathy and Susan, they're not keeping these secrets.
That's true.
And those ladies are tight. All those ladies are still friends, and they're going to realize, like, hey, we're in it as girls together, and they're going to dish, I think.
That's what I mean. I think, like, we're going to get, like, a whole bunch of dirt on Gary. She should get with these girls, and then, you know what? I want them to come on our podcast and talk about this, but if Teresa needs to go and talk to Susan and Kathy on their podcast and give us the real scoop, sign us up. I'll listen.
Or if she, speak to some people of age, I mean, you know, the OGs would be more than willing to take on that conversation as well.
Can I throw one crazy idea out there, and don't judge me for it? Because I'm sure there was no funny business, but like when you're Gary, right? Do we think, like, they don't live together? How many ladies at the market are giving Gary the wink? You know what I'm saying? Like, that could be, like, he might be like, okay, I've got a lot of ladies flirting. Oh, Trista's got information.
I'm not gonna reveal my source, but no, it's not a source. But the person who made this comment, I'm not gonna reveal. But they said, I wonder with all of the hubbub and the hype, and he's all over the place, like in the media. I'm sure there are women out there. I mean, please, when we were done, people were sending Ryan. And this was, of course, back in the day when there was like real mail that you went to the post office for. But people would put together like little care packages and send them to Ryan and be like, so if things don't work out with Trista, here's my number.
Right. I bet you like at the, I don't know where they go, the IHOP.
They go to DMs, I'm sure.
They
Instagram.
Oh, the gram. Oh, wow.
Oh, the gram.
Yes. Wow, they're sliding into the geriatric DMs.
That was not geriatric DMs. That was not my thought, but I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I can see they get a lot of attention after the show. Yeah. Anyone who's on the show usually get a lot of attention. And I'm sure there were people sliding into his DMs, whether he took advantage of it or not.
Well, and Kathy and Susan make really good points when they say at their age, those men like 50-year-old women. So it is really hard to be a 70-something woman because you're like, where's the 90-year-olds hanging out?
Right. Yeah, the 75-year-old dudes are going out with 55-year-old ladies at this
point. Isn't that just what happens with every age group?
My mom would be like a hot catch for a 91-year-old, like, you know?
Okay. All right. Ew. Well, let's get Bachelor data in on here.
I got to jump, guys.
I never want her to date. See, like, Bob. My mom is never going on that show because we're so protective of a grandma. Yeah. You're like, no. Yeah. But anyway,
I love you, Cheryl. It was great seeing you. Bye, guys.
So good seeing you.
Thank you.
Bye. Great coverage, Ashley. Great job. Keep it going. Great coverage. Yes.
Awesome coverage.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, It's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Almost Famous listeners, we are now joined by our fan on our panel today. Her name is Natalie. Natalie, I heard that you have like lots of salacious thoughts on this. Like, you are not holding back.
Well, yeah. I mean, so I have watched many seasons of The Bachelor, almost all of them. and all the Bachelor in Paradise and all the things. And I think this was a great season and I loved it. I fell in love with Gary like everyone else did. And I was not surprised and then not surprised to hear this news. Basically just, I didn't love her. I don't know that you guys loved her either, Ashley and Ben. I mean, based on the podcast.
I will admit I was absolutely shocked when he picked her. I was shocked on finale day. I wasn't even spoiled. It was at the Bachelor Mansion filming, recording our podcast live from the finale that I found out. And I was like, what? But over time, if I had to choose a favorite in this relationship, I would have chosen Teresa because that article that came out about him, it just rubbed me the wrong way and I couldn't shake it. I feel like there's something a little off there, but there might be a little something off on both ends. I like feel really bad saying I don't fully trust him. It's just overly chummy, a little bit of acting, a little bit too goody two shoes. I don't know.
Right. Well, she came out of the limo like naked, right? I mean, basically.
Oh, Teresa.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, she came to play, you know. She was definitely, you know, more power to her. I feel like she overlooked a lot of things that maybe she saw that, you know, she wasn't willing to see about Gary because she wanted to wanted to end up with him and at all costs. And so my theory is just that they got home and based on Ben said something on one of your recent podcasts where it was like, you get home and, you know, it's like, you're looking at this person, like this is Joe Schmo. He's nobody special or famous. He's just a guy who's like, whatever job it is that he had, which we don't really know because
up in the air.
Issue. It's like, he he wasn't the breadwinner. And so maybe she was kind of like, I don't want to take care of this guy forever. And, you know, this is reality. So the fact that they got divorced after 3 months, everyone is so shocked, but the reality is like that doesn't change based on your age. Getting home and sort of realizing who this person is sort of what happens, I think, a lot, right, with these situations. But I don't know, just the fact that she was so googly-eyed over him the entire time, it was, to me, I think she probably just didn't, she like overlooked a lot of things that maybe were issues and maybe on his side too, because they were so kind of physically attached too, I think.
Are we also still weirded out thinking about that fantasy suite episode and how he went into the fantasy suite, told Leslie, obviously he was going to choose her, then somehow goes into the fantasy suite with Teresa after having kind of honestly an awkwardish date and then comes out being like, no, it's her. So what the heck happened? I don't know whether it was physical. I don't know whether they had like conversations about finances or who knows what the heck that changed something so dramatically.
They never show us. I mean, I thought about this too, like the whole location thing. They don't show that very much on The Bachelor. Like, do they have a lot of conversations behind scenes? Like, does The Bachelor with their, contestants, like about where they live? Because that's got to be a huge thing of who they choose to be with. Like, is it somebody that's, you know, lives in LA and you're stuck in New York for your career, like, are you going to choose that person? And they didn't show them really. I mean, they had the conversation after, I guess, but I don't know. It's just interesting that they don't show those scenes of The Bachelor really talking to their contestants about that, like about where they live.
Yeah. You know? I think I can't speak on it because I was never in a serious enough relationship on the show to like get to that conversation. But I do feel like it is something that is talked about. Especially once you get down to the final three. I wish Ben were here to answer that question. Okay, Natalie, I got a question about marriage for you, and maybe you know it, maybe you don't. Could this have been annulled, you think? And like, what is the criteria for an annulment over a divorce after 3 months?
Well, isn't a shorter time period? Like, it has to be within a certain... Am I wrong about that?
No, because like, if I remember my pop culture correctly, Kenny Chesney and Renee Zellweger, they got an annulment after 5 months of marriage.
Well, I'm guessing it's financial because she's like a financial planner, right? She was like, it seemed like she had her books in a row and I'm sure she had the prenup.
They had the prenup. They did say on Good Morning America, there was a prenup.
So maybe that was why, like either he was going to have access to her money or something if they didn't get fully divorced. Or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do think that was I mean, that was when it came out that he, you know, wasn't kind of, you know, making a lot of money, and she kind of had it together. That also made sense for why they ended up together.
That's what I thought. That I was like, I thought that maybe that enticed him more.
Right. Oh, I think for sure it did. I mean, yeah, I think. And then she probably was like, look, I was just talking to a friend about this, but like when you get older, yeah, you want to take care of people, but you don't want to work forever, especially, you know, if you're in your 70s, you're like, maybe she was like, look, I don't want to take care of it. Maybe she thought she could or she wanted to, but that's gets older after a while, you know?
Somebody got the ick, okay? Somebody,
oh, for sure.
I think that maybe both of them did.
Yeah, because why were they so content in that interview? I mean, it really was like, I just watched it again, you know, before this. And I mean, they were really, I mean, not only just holding hands, yeah, but it was just
too much. You know? It seemed like over the top for me to show that much affection when announcing a divorce.
Yeah.
That's what made it seem phony and acting. And I'm like, oh, okay. So you guys have been phony and acting the entire time, or at least for quite some months now.
I think there were just issues that they don't want to talk about. Like yeah. When in the beginning of the interview, he was sort of like, yeah, we had several conversations about, you know, living arrangements and other things. So it's clear that they talked, you know, I think it just had, it was about probably just compatibility and like living with a person day to day and their habits. And like, how do you know any of that before, you know, it just, or maybe arguments or disagreements or, you know, a friend of mine saw them out in LA and said she was very, this was only like a few weeks ago. She was holding on really tight to him and sort of deer in headlights. Mm-hmm. And he was talking to everybody kind of more friendly. And so you're like, you just, there's, I'm sure there's tons of things that we just don't know, but they did a good job of like, you know, keeping it together for that. But which surprised me about her too, because she was so like in love with him, you know, the whole time. To see her not upset really was like, that told me that maybe it was
her
decision.
Well, yeah. We know that if this means anything, he was the one to file in Indiana today for divorce. He was the initiator. Oh. I don't know if that means anything. I wonder why they didn't pull a Marcus and Lacey and not even sign paperwork, just make it a televised event wedding and like not actually be legally married. If I were them, I probably would have. I mean, I wouldn't have gotten married, but right. If I did get married, I would have been like, all right, well, let's not actually make this official yet.
I think they were just in this like whirlwind, like, why wouldn't we get married? And also you're in your 70s, like where, you know, and plus it's going to be paid for, like, you know, like what, let's just go for it, you know? And then I don't know, the issues became too much. I mean, I think it's, yeah, that can happen too. I mean, I just think it's so easy to look at this couple on TV and the Golden Bachelor. And, you know, it's like, they're so in love. And we just don't see all the cracks and all the things, you know? And it doesn't mean that they weren't in love or they tried, like a lot of people do, but, you know, and that they won't end up happily ever after, like you did and like Ben did and, you know, but I think it, yeah, they're, it's definitely an interesting, you know, situation.
My last question for you is, what do you think Leslie is thinking today?
I mean, I think she's probably secretly
satisfied. Like a little sad
for sure. Mm-hmm. I think we all thought he was going to pick her. I mean, I definitely did. But she was young and like, I just think he was focused more on someone who can take care of him. That's my theory. And maybe she couldn't do that. So, but I bet you, yeah, I mean, I'm sure she's sad for them, but ultimately, I would think as the runner-up, you're kind of like, you know,
yeah,
a little bit of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Natalie, so much for joining us and giving
sure,
us
thank you.
Your thoughts, your honest thoughts. There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
All right, we could not wrap this podcast up without having Bachelor Data Susanna Summers, not to be confused with Susan Summers, because she's got to break down the shortest bachelor marriage. Susanna, why do you think that the Golden Bachelor has the shortest marriage? The one with the people that have apparently the most relationship experience and experience knowing themselves.
Oh, man. I had not to be pessimistic here, but I did have some concerns about Golden Bachelor when they first announced it, mainly because the Bachelor franchise casts from around the US. It's not like Love is Blind or Married at First Sight where they cast in the same like city or region, which isn't so much of a problem for younger people for The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. But when you think of Golden Bachelor, these are people in their golden years who already have families, grandchildren, and they've most of them have settled down near them. So I actually had quite a few concerns before the show even aired about like logistically, how are older people going to uproot their lives across the country? Like it's just much harder at that age than it is in your younger years. So it did feel very rushed that they got married before they even moved in together or moved near each other. The timing of this all, the thing that makes me scratch my head the most is 5 days ago, they were filming Celebrity Family Feud.
And it will air in like a month or something. But yeah, they have obviously decided already on divorce and they were separated by the time of this filming, which just confirms to me that the franchise was going to try to hide this separation as long as possible.
Yeah, it definitely feels like that. And I mean, I get it. It was the most successful spinoff show that they've ever had. Mm-hmm. If you look at Bachelor in Paradise, so many people who watch this show don't realize that Bachelor in Paradise actually has lower ratings every year than Bachelor and Bachelorette. So the fact that a spinoff show performed, it outperformed every single show last year, this year, and multiple years going back, you know, it makes sense that ABC is going to milk it for all it's worth. But I think a lot of people weren't expecting a divorce this quickly, 3 months after a wedding.
For sure. And what's interesting is that while Bachelor in Paradise has the lowest amount of viewers, it has the greatest percentages of couples that are still together, right?
Yes. So when it comes to success rates on the show, there's a few different ways to slice and dice it. And I like to give a few disclaimers first. So it depends on what you define as success, because a lot of people just think of who is currently together in this day and time. And people forget Ashley and JP from The Bachelorette, they were together for almost 10 years and had two kids. Rachel and Brian, they were together for almost 7 years. We had Caitlin and Sean that were together for over 3 years. And also, if we go much further back to those early years on The Bachelor, we had Byron, I didn't watch that season, and Mary, they were together for over 5 years. Charlie and Sarah, they were together for 4 years. So a lot of people, they discount those relationships, but relationships over 2-3 years long, those are pretty successful in my book. But if we're talking of just who's currently together on The Bachelorette, 18% of bachelorettes are still together. So we've had 20 seasons with 22 different bachelorettes. Mm-hmm. So that's 18%. If we include those longer relationships, it goes up to 36%. But now if we look at Bachelor, we've had 28 seasons, 29 with Gary. Six are still together. So that's 20.7%. So that's higher than the 18% that we've seen for Bachelorette. If we include those longer relationships, it goes up to 28%. And then, as far as divorces, Bachelorette has seen 2 divorces. Mm-hmm. The Bachelor has not seen any divorces, just Golden Bachelor. And then Bachelor in Paradise, this is where we see the higher success rates. So couples that are still together on Bachelor in Paradise, it's 29.7%.
So that means couples who, like, I know that Jared and I are included in that. And so Our couples like Astrid and Kevin and Raven and Adam, couples who got together eventually but didn't leave the show engaged. Becca and Thomas, actually a huge chunk of them. Abigail and Noah, I could keep going.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. I credit that those couples are together. And same thing for The Bachelor, because a lot of people don't like to include Ari and Lauren as a success number.
Yeah. This would be the same thing as Jason and Molly, yeah.
Exactly. But if you think about it, that relationship would have never happened without the show. So if you want to talk about leads that are still with the final person, that's a different stat. So like I said, there's so many different ways to slice and dice this, and people love to cherry pick on like who they want to include. So I like to include all of these numbers, but couples that are still currently together from Bachelor in Paradise, it's 11 couples out of 37. So that's that 29.7%. But we've had three divorces from Bachelor in Paradise. So we had Carly and Evan. They were together for 5 years, had a kid, two kids. Chris and Crystal, that was a shorter relationship though. They were together for 1.6 years. And then Lacey and Marcus from season one, but this one's debatable. So they had a televised wedding. They flew them down to Mexico, had their wedding there, but they actually never legally got married, but they were together for 2 years. So if we include those divorces, it goes up to 38% of success rates. And then also Brendan and Piper were together for 2 years after the show. So that then boosts it up to 40%. So it's again, however you want to slice and dice it, the show is actually pretty successful. And it's around this time that we hear like Golden Bachelor's getting a divorce, that there's so much clickbait out there where people are like, this show is horrible, it doesn't work, blah, 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 cancel the show. And it's like, the success rates are actually pretty good. I know back in my day when I was single, if I had had a 20% success rate on Tinder and Bumble with swiping and finding good men, like that's a great success rate. And I know it's only gotten worse in the last 10 years.
And the Bachelor numbers, I feel like, have gotten better in the past 10 years.
Yes. So the really interesting stat that I found, so rumors started to kind of circulate a few days ago about this potential divorce dropping. So I started digging into the numbers. Post-pandemic success rates. And here's where I have a lot of opinions, which I never give opinions on my account.
I was going to ask you for a couple more opinions after this and tell us your opinion here.
Okay. So post-pandemic, so when the world shut down, it was they literally shut down filming. I think it was like 2 days after the NBA shutdown was Claire's season was supposed to film.
Yeah.
So ever since the world shut down and we came back for Claire and Tayshia's season, we have had four Bachelors, five if you include Golden, okay? And then we've had seven Bachelorettes, which is insane because we had Claire and Tayshia for season 16. And then the next year we had Katie and Michelle had two seasons. And then we had in 2023, Gabby and Rachel shared a season. So we've had a lot of Bachelorettes.
Yeah.
The Bachelor.
Not a lot of success with the Bachelorettes, interestingly.
No. But The Bachelor, three of the four are still together. So we had Matt and Rachel, they're still together. Clayton didn't work out. Zach and Katie are still together. And Joey and Kelsey, you know, their season just ended. Yes. So that's a really good success rate. And the craziest part is pre-pandemic, The Bachelorette was the most successful franchise. Mm-hmm. And it was the running joke. It was like, of course, because women are so much better at picking.
I noticed on your stats today that switched over.
Yeah. So here's the variable, because I dug into it, because for so long, pre-pandemic, it was always Bachelorette was more successful. And on top of that, Bachelorettes almost like their rate of choosing their first impression rose as their finalist was super high. So it was very much this like women just know how to choose better.
I remember.
Here's what's changed. So before the pandemic, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette was 10 weeks of filming. A week on this show is the dates plus the rose ceremony. I count that as a week. It's actually like sometimes it's 4 days, sometimes it's 6 days, depending on traveling, but it's 10 weeks of dates plus rose ceremonies. Okay. Seven before hometowns, and then you have hometowns, overnights, and then you meet the family. Mm-hmm. The Bachelor structure has not changed. It has continued to be 10 weeks every single season. But The Bachelorette has changed. So Claire, obviously, she ended her season after like a week and a half. And she was like, peace out. I'm going with Dale. So Tayshia's naturally was shorter. That made sense. Okay. Then when it came time for Katie and Michelle's season, those were 8 and 9 weeks. And then Gabby and Rachel, even though they were sharing a group of men and getting less dates than leads normally get, they only got 9 weeks. And then Charity had 8 weeks.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that could be a reason for that. Now, for Gary and Teresa, we know that their season was actually the shortest of all seasons ever for a lead show. And they only had, I wanted to say that they had 4 to 6 weeks of filming instead of the standard, as you said, 8 to 10.
Yeah.
All right. Well, who knows what contributed to this split, but Bachelor Data, we are just really happy that you came on, gave us your insight, and we hope to have you back soon.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that's all we have. That was a lot on the Golden Divorce. Hopefully we have some more gossip coming up. Some more of these golden ladies will talk and we'll find out more about what went wrong between Teresa and Gary. And I'm sorry, I'm trying to sound salacious about this, but I think it's more salacious than distance. Thank you guys for joining me. We love you all. And until next time, I have been Ashley. See ya.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruze and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. I've discovered the secret to turning diaper duty into pure parenting joy. Okay, well, that might be a stretch, but Pampers Swaddlers is truly the answer. They feature a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, including even blowouts. And for 2024's hottest baby shower / sprinkle gift, it's the Pampers Diaper Stash. I am so for diapers for a baby shower or registry. This Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund where family and friends can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. Just create an account, share it, and then watch it grow, and then gift it. So easy. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness with Pampers Swaddlers and the Pampers Diaper Stash.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.